You don't do that. It's a mechanical thing. See, the things that are there are running very smoothly and mechanically. You don't have to do a thing about it. The more you try to do it, the more resistance you are creating. So the boredom is really the problem for you. See, the non-existing boredom has been created by the demand how to free yourself from boredom. See, so since that is not in any way helping you to free your boredom, but making it more and more and more difficult to be free from this, you have to shop around. See, you have to search for all and every kinds of gimmicks to free yourself from that non-existing boredom. So it is that is keeping this a going thing forever and ever. So I'm not giving you another gimmick or suggesting anything. I just want you to look at this, what you are doing to yourself. Not to free you from something and take you away from that, you see, because I have something new product to sell. Not at all. I have no new products, you know, to sell. Nor am I interested in selling anything. Since we happen to be here, all of us, for some reason or the other, I don't know why we are here. Anyway, we are here. For discuss. There's nothing to discuss here. The discussion has no meaning because the object or the purpose of a discussion or a conversation is to understand something. So that is not the means to understand anything. Ultimately, what I am emphasizing all the time is, look here, there is nothing to understand. When that is understood, that there is nothing to understand, all these conversations become meaningless. So you get up and walk away once and for all. So I say, nice meeting you and goodbye. That's all that I'm saying all the time, you see. You know, if you nice meeting you.
Huh?
No, that's exactly what I'm saying all the time. Nice meeting you. Goodbye. God be with you and God, stay with God. That's the Spanish expression. Stay with God. Your gods, your God, stay with them, you see. Don't disturb yourself unnecessarily. Live in hope and die in hope. And hope that you will be born again if you accept the theories of reincarnation and all. One is bad enough. Why do you want to be born again? The same thing again. So you might as well handle this problem once and for all now and begin to live what little is left for us. Not bother about, you see, the world and the peace of the world and, you know. If the question of how to be happy is dropped, then you begin to live, you see, not bothering about happiness at all. See, that doesn't exist. Happiness doesn't exist at all. No. The more you want it, the more you search for it, the more unhappy you remain. They go together, you see.
Oh, never mind. Maybe I may ask to somebody else here a question. People who listen to you much longer than I did, only this afternoon.
That's enough.
Don't you think that that it goes against everything about religion, society,
culture, all systems of thought,
structures, systems,
all structures of
all
thought,
systems,
philosophical, religious, materialistic structures.
Don't you think that's negative? And just not because I think it's
why
negative,
you are all the why you are you
because
don't,
people
you, listen you
say that.
People
me,
can say
people.
That, people can say that, because it's an easy way out for them. And you forget one thing. All the positive approaches that man has invented and used for centuries, they have not resulted in any useful way. They have not produced the results you have been promised. You know? So, and yet you go on and if you go on and on and on like that, hoping that somehow, through some miracle, you will be able to achieve your positive goals or the goals and you keep doing it only because you have a hope. And it is that hope that keeps you going. And when somebody presents the other side of it, look, don't be caught up, you see, in the structure of thought which always suggests the positive and negative. Your goals are always positive. Since your goals have failed to give the desired results, you have begun to look at the things and approach them in a negative way. The positive and negative approaches function only in the field of thought. So what I'm suggesting is, look, your positive approach so far has not given you the desired results. And I'm telling you why it has not given you the desired results. I'm telling you why you are stuck where you are stuck. But immediately you turn around and say, you see, your approach is negative. It is not at all negative. You see, I'm presenting the other side of the coin or the other side of the picture to neutralize your argument, not to win you over to my point of view, or to stress the negative approach to the problems. Your goal being a positive goal, no matter what approach you adopt, it is a positive approach. You see, you may call it a negative approach, but it is still a positive approach. So you must be very, very clear about the goal. So what I'm trying to emphasize is that the goal must go.
See? You leave it. You leave the goal.
It has no meaning at all. The goal has no meaning. The goal which you have placed before you has no meaning at all because it has resulted only in struggle, pain and sorrow for you. You are using will. As I said a while ago, you see, the will has certain limitations. You can't use it beyond a certain limit. So the use of your will and the use of your effort gives you a sort of additional energy to tackle these problems and to face these problems. But actually, see, it is limited in its scope. So, the energy that you produce is only a frictional energy. The will creates a friction. Friction.
Yes.
And that friction gives you some sort of energy, but that energy cannot last long. And so you are back again in square one.
The whole build upon
the foundation. The foundation. Why? Why Western civilization? All civilizations, all cultures, place before you a goal.
Yes, but
whether it is material goal or spiritual goal. So there are ways and means of achieving your material goals. But even in this respect, there is a lot of pain, there is a lot of suffering. And you have superimposed on that what is called a spiritual goal. And so your Christianity, for example, is built on the foundation of suffering as a means to reach your goal. I don't know if I can make myself clear. So what you are left with is only the suffering, and you make a great big thing out of suffering, and yet you are not anywhere near the goal, whatever is the nature of your goal. Whereas in the material world, it is something tangible, you see. So the instrument which you are using to achieve your material goal does produce certain results. So by using that more and more, you have a way of getting the desired results, but there is no guarantee. So the instrument which you are using is limited in its scope. It is applicable only in this area. So the instrument which you are using to achieve your so-called spiritual goals is the same instrument. So you do not realize that, first of all, the spiritual goals that are superimposed on your so-called material goals is born out of your fantasy. So you, first of all, you divide life into material and spiritual. So the doesn't matter what instrument you use to achieve your goal, whether it is material or spiritual, it is exactly the same.
We are, yes, human beings are active persons. We are not plants. Even plants are active, living beings. We are not, how do you say that in English?
Phlegmatic.
We must have some sort of goal.
Yes.
Are you saying that it is bad to have?
I'm not saying. I want you to be very clear about the goal. Right. What do you want?
The type of goal.
What do you want? It is not the want that is wrong, but the only way you can achieve your material or spiritual goals is through the instrument which you use to achieve your goal, to reach your goal, to attain your goal. So, what I'm suggesting is that the only instrument you have is through thinking. Say, I want to be a millionaire. A millionaire wants to be a billionaire, and a billionaire wants to be a trillionaire. You see, so that is the goal. You see, and a happy man would never want to be happy. He wants to be more and more happy, or he wants to be permanently happy. Sure. So you are happy sometimes and you are unhappy some other times. So you want pleasures and you want those pleasures to be permanent. And at the same time, you also know that, you see, the so-called demand for pleasure, temporary or otherwise, is giving you pain as well. So the goal of the common man, or, you see, I don't mean when I use the common man, the goal of every person in this world, whether he is here in the West, or in the East, or even in communist countries, is exactly the same. So, what he wants is to have pleasure without pain at all, and to be happy always, even without moments of unhappiness. So, what he is actually striving hard, is to achieve this impossible goal of having one without the other.
So that older people
know, everybody
know that older people know that there is no pleasure without
pain.
There is no luck without bad luck, because you cannot speak about luck if you don't know what is bad luck.
Yes, so I see. What is the problem?
Older people know that everybody gets his portion of bad luck, suffering, things like that. And those people are not thinking in getting pleasures.
Sure. That's all that I'm saying. Whether they are consciously doing it or not, that is what everybody is after. You see, you know what will give you happiness. If you achieve, you see, all the goals you have placed before yourself, the success, the money, the name, the fame, position, power, you are happy. You see, in this process, you are struggling hard, you are putting a lot of will into that, see, effort into that. If you, as long as you succeed, you have no problems at all. So, you cannot always succeed, you know all that, you see. So, but there is somehow hope somewhere that, see, it will be possible for you to always succeed. The problem is not that, the problem is frustration. You see, the frustration is there because you find that you cannot succeed always. And yet there is a hope. Whether it is the material goals or spiritual goals, the demand is, you see, to succeed in your efforts to reach, attain or accomplish whatever goals. Yeah. So whatever, you have to help me. I'm not here to give any talk. So I ask the question repeatedly when people come to see me. A very simple question. You must be very clear as to what you want. So I want this, I don't want that. It's all right. You see, when once you know what exactly you want, you will be able to find out the ways and means of fulfilling your wants. So, unfortunately, people want too many things at the same time. So, you crystallize all of your wants into one basic want, because all the other wants are the variations of the same want. So, if you reject my suggestion that man always wants to be happy without even rare moments of unhappiness, or permanent pleasure without, you see, pain, which, as I said, you see, a while ago, is a physical impossibility. That the body cannot take any sensation, be it pleasurable or painful, for long. It is destroying the sensitivity of the sensory perceptions and also destroying the sensitivity of the nervous system.
If you get all the time.
He was all the time concerned about, see, the goals he has, you see, the permanent, you see. So, there is, you see, a sensation of pleasure. So, the moment you see, you recognize a particular sensation as a pleasurable sensation, naturally there is a demand to make that pleasurable sensation last longer. So every sensation, depending upon the intensity of that sensation, which is played by, is it played you to invest it with more intensity or less intensity, depending upon what you are after, has a limited life of its own. So the demand comes only when you separate yourself from the pleasurable sensation and begin to think as to how you can extend the limits of the pleasurable sensation or the moments of happiness. So your thinking has turned that particular demand on your part to make this particular sensation, pleasurable sensation, longer than what its natural duration of its life is, into a problem. See, not necessarily your problem, but they just turned that into a problem for this, the functioning of this body. So, it has created a neurological problem. So, it is trying to absorb that and doing everything possible to absorb them. Whereas your thinking makes it impossible for this body to handle that in its own way, for the simple reason that you are trying to solve those problems within the field of your religious approaches or the psychological approaches. Actually, those problems are neurological problems, and if the body is left alone to handle them in its own way, it will do a better job than you are trying to solve them on the psychological or religious levels. So all the solutions that we have been offered, given, and the solutions which we have been practicing for centuries haven't done any good except to give us a little bit of comfort. See, a little bit of palliative, you see, as I said, to bear the pain with some kind of a satisfaction. So, you see. But yet, see, you are not free from that pain at all. It's because of the hope that somehow, you see, the instrument which is turning all these things into problems can be solved through the same instrument. You see, that is the only thing that this mechanics of thinking can do, that is to create a problem, but it can never, never solve the problem. That's all that I'm emphasizing. So if that is not the instrument to solve the problems, is there any other instrument? I say no. It can only create the problems. It cannot solve the problems. So when this understanding dawns on it, then you see, you will realize in the light of that understanding that any effort you use, any will you use to solve those problems either on psychological levels or within the framework of your religious thinking, the whole structure slows down. You see? And when it once slows down, the energy that is there in the body, which is the manifestation of life or expression of life, handles it in a tremendously easier way than, you see, the frictional thinking which you are generating through your ideas of how to handle these problems. That's all that I'm suggesting.
So one, you feel that you have a problem, you just leave it.
You see, if you put it that way, then there is a demand from the person who is suggesting that to ask how you can leave that alone. So you know that you cannot leave it alone. You just say, leave it alone. But naturally, the next question will be, how to leave that alone without the interference of this thought? There is no how. So if anybody suggests how, you are caught up in the same vicious circle. That is what all these therapists, you see, we have in our midst today, and all those gurus we have in the marketplace who are suggesting umpteen number of techniques are creating this tremendous burden, which does not in any way lighten the burden, but on the other hand, it is adding more and more burden to this situation in which you find yourself today. So all those systems and techniques cannot be of any help except that they will act as palliatives for a while to bear the pain for a little longer than, you see, it is possible for you. And so that is why you are attracted to this, you see. On the other hand, they are disturbing, you see, the whole chemistry of the body instead of being of any help to you to solve the problems for you.
They are disturbing the chemistry.
They are disturbing the chemistry. And in this process, it is throwing up all kinds of aberrations which you consider to be a sort of a spiritual experience, you see. So your breathing exercises, your yoga exercises, your meditations are disturbing the chemistry of the body and the natural rhythm of the body. In exactly the same way, all these drugs, you see, which people take, disturb the chemistry of the body. So you say that they are damaging, but actually these are far more damaging than those things. See, the drugs. I'm not suggesting that you should take drugs, but the purpose, you see, of your using the drugs, or you see, use all these therapies, spiritual or psychological therapies, that all those therapies, religious and psychological therapies, are dishing out day after day after day. So the fact that they give you some relief, like anacin, you see, you have a headache, you see, you don't even give the opportunity for the body to handle it for a little while. So you rush to the market and buy anacin or Bayer's aspirin or something, and you drug yourself. So in exactly the same way, it makes it difficult for the body to manufacture the natural things that are there in your body to help to relieve you of the pain. It has all the hallucinogens you are talking about as part of this system, because it wants, you see, to control the pain and to relieve itself of the pain. You understand? So it knows only the physical pain. It is not interested in your psychological pain at all. So the solutions they are offering is only in the area of the psychological field, but not in the physical field. So if you take, you see, aspirin, for example, it destroys the capacity of this body to handle that in a natural way. I'm not suggesting that you should not take, you see, the natural way and switch over to use some, you see, funny health food stuff, or, you see, microbiotic or otherwise. That is as vicious, as mischievous as any other medicines. Go ahead.
But what then is your clear advice if you have problems? One of your advices is don't create them.
You cannot but create the problems. The problem arises.
One of the things I understood is that
you are creating the problems, number one, you see.
That's right.
But actually you are not looking at the problems at all. You are not dealing with the problems. You are more interested in solutions than the problems. See, that makes it difficult for you to look at the problem. I am suggesting that, look here, you don't have any problems. You assert with all the emphasis that you have come on, with a tremendous animation, look, I have a problem here. Alright, you have a problem here. That problem you are talking about, this is something which you cannot pinpoint and say this is the problem. You say physical pain, it is a reality.
Yeah.
So, you go to a doctor, whether it is good for the body or not, whether it is a poison or not, it produces the required relief, however short it may be. So, these things, you see, the therapies that those people are dishing out, intensify the problem, which is non-existing. So the problem is not there anymore. So you are only searching for the solutions. So if there is anything to those solutions that they are offering, the problem should go, should disappear. Actually, the problem is still there. So you never question the solutions that those people are offering you as a relief, or as something that can free you from the problems. So if you question the solutions that have been offered to us by all those people who are marketing these goodies in the name of holiness, enlightenment, transformation, are really not the solutions. See, if they were the solutions, they should produce, you see, the results here and free you from the problem. They are not, you see. You don't question the solutions because the sentiment creeps in there. You see, that fellow who is selling this in the marketplace cannot be a fraud, cannot be a fake. You take him, you see, to be, you see, the enlightened man or a god walking in his face of here. That god may be fooling and kidding himself, may be indulging in self-deception all the time, and then selling that stuff, you see, shoddy piece of goods to you. So you don't question the solutions. He can be dishonest. Every man cannot be dishonest. So, but yet you have to question the solutions because those solutions are not solving your problems.